everybody, and grab your Bible and a pencil and a journal and maybe even a cup of coffee and join in on our conversation. But first, I would like for you to write this down. John 20, verses 11 through 16. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus was standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Hey everyone, welcome to Write This Down with Dot Bowen. My name is Kara. I am Dot's daughter, and every week we sit down together and we talk through truth and scripture. And actually, before I get into it, happy Easter. That is exactly what we're talking about in this episode. We're talking about the resurrection of our Savior. And we really talk a lot about the intimacy that comes with the resurrection. Yes, it shows his power and it shows that he conquers death. But we really talk about how this is such an intimate moment between Jesus and us. So we are really glad that you're here, and we would love for you to pull up a chair and join in our conversation.
Hey, Kara. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. Here.
Oh, happy Easter. It's a resurrection day. Woo. Our Super Bowl, Christian Super Bowl. He is back.
He is alive. I guess he almost was alive. No, he wasn't. He died.
Yeah. He literally did. Yeah. So,
yep.
But anyway.
But he is here.
Yeah.
I mean, he is here, but he is he's out of the grave, everybody.
Yep. Yep. Whatever happened on Saturday, we do not know. You can find that out.
We know last what happened Friday.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened Saturday, but we know what happened Sunday. So,
and this is our hope.
There was something last week when we were talking, and I made a note on it so I wouldn't forget when we recorded this one. And I almost asked it, but I thought if I asked this, it didn't go with what we were talking about. And I thought you would get mad at me. So I saved
I'm so
it.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, you would. You would for sure get mad at me because it had nothing to do with Saturday.
Well, we don't know what was going on Saturday anyway, so might as well talk about something else. But
I was thinking about how on Friday, he died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
And he had to die. And then he rose on Sunday.
He did.
Which is why we're here. So basically everything was complete. Like Sunday is when it's like, you know, if it wasn't for Sunday, well then
we're hopeless.
Like that anyone else. Yeah. Like there's just like anyone else who's died. Because obviously like dying on a cross, that's not even significant or special because so many people died on the cross back then.
Just not a savior or a sinless man.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like dying on a cross was a very common way to be killed back then. So yeah, without Sunday, there would be none of the, like what, there's no point in any of this basically, which is why you say it's a Super Bowl of like our faith. So my question or my thought is on Friday, he says on the cross, "It is finished."
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because Sunday had to happen. So when he says it is finished, is he saying the debt of sin, like that's done?
The payment of sin.
The payment of sin is done.
Yeah. The reason that Jesus died was because he was sinless.
Right.
No
we
man
talked about that.
Can, yeah. Yeah. No man can die for somebody else's. So the reason that Jesus died was for the atonement, the payment for sin. And so when he said it's finished, then it means
like the payment is done.
Yeah. 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 It is finished. Like there's nothing that we can do now that would merit having a relationship with God because Jesus had paid for us to have a relationship with God. He paid for our sins. So it was done. The payment of sin was done.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was a random thought. This is why I did not bring this up when we're talking about Saturday. You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. Yeah, because
it was
more confusing.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where I was like, wait, it wasn't finished. Like the story wasn't over on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Just the payment. Yeah, the redemption was finished. It needed a sinless person to die on the cross. Because you were right, there were more people that died on crosses, but not a sinless person. Anyway, so.
Right. Well, and none of those people raised from the dead. Yeah.
No. Raised themselves from the dead. I mean, Lazarus. Yes. Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus raised
That's
from
true.
Lazarus.
Well, and he predicted it. Jesus predicted it. So mm-hmm. that, yeah. Because I know, yeah, there's a pastor who says that. Like, if you predict your own death and resurrection, and it happens exactly how you just predicted it, well, then I will
go with him.
I'll go with whatever you say.
Yeah.
Like that alone.
Yeah. It's our friend Andy. So Andy says that.
Yeah. And it's true. It's like, well, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, not only did he do that, but he also predicted it. Yeah. So it's like, well, I don't.
And Jesus said it was finished because everything he did in obedience to God. So Jesus's role, what Jesus came for, that was finished. And that was to pay for our sins. So I love that because I feel like he looked up into heaven and he saw God and said, okay, I've done it. Like, I've done what I've come to. We, you know, I almost feel like
my purpose
at that
is
moment,
done.
Probably. Yeah. At that moment, that he could have given God a high five. You know, it's just like, this is what we've, you know, what
but
we've
couldn't
accomplished.
Have separated.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at that moment. But.
Yeah. In that moment.
But anyway, but I love this about Mary coming to the tomb and she does not recognize Jesus. She thinks he's a gardener.
Why do you think that is?
He just didn't reveal himself to her. Jesus reveals himself to certain people. Like when he walked on the earth, he was still the Messiah. And one of the things that I note in my Bible and stuff, that Jesus was still God on Friday. Jesus was still God on Saturday, whatever he was doing. Yes. And Jesus is still God on Sunday. We just happened to see that he pulled off the miraculous, that he was only God, only the one true God, like you said, can predict his death and resurrection and mm-hmm. pull it off. So Jesus is now proving that he is God. And that's what's very, very important. And that's what gives mm-hmm. us hope is we're not putting our faith in people, even though Jesus came as a person, as a man, but we're putting our faith in a God. And I love this. And I think that maybe some of the things I've talked about this and is that Mary went to look for Jesus. Jesus came to Mary because she was seeking him, but she was looking for him in the wrong place. And it talks about why are you looking among the dead when you're looking for someone that's alive? Why are you looking for someone? Why are you looking for the living?
Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Yeah.
Among the dead, yeah.
We got that.
And we got that so confused. But anyway, and so Jesus is there. She's looking at him. She doesn't know that it's him. She's got tears in her eyes. She's got this ideal, this mentality that someone has taken the body, which we were afraid, you know,
well,
you said that before.
Yeah, because she's like, but I love that point of like, she was looking for him in the wrong place. She didn't know, obviously, that, but I think that so many times if we're expecting, we're looking for God to do something or to be in or whatever, and he's not. And we're like, where are you? And he's like, well, I'm right here. But it's not what you expected or how you expected or.
Or you see him differently. She saw Jesus. She didn't know Jesus, mm-hmm. but she thought he was in the garden. And I think so often in our lives and in our circumstances and things that are going in our world, Jesus is there. Jesus is doing something, but we don't think it's Jesus. We think it's someone else. We think it's our enemy. We think it's our flesh. We think it's people. And maybe it may just be Jesus. And that Jesus is doing something that we least expected. I think that's a huge principle there. A lot of people miss it. And I think, too, she doesn't see him because she was crying. I think tears and being sad and being disheartened and looking in the wrong place and having our eyes in the wrong direction keeps us from seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge principle in our lives because no matter what's going on in our lives, if we need to know that Jesus is there. Jesus said he's always going to be there. Sometimes we don't really see him and see his presence mm-hmm. because we're looking in the wrong places and our eyes are looking in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just can't see him for the pain in our tears, in our eyes. So I think that's huge.
One of my favorite parts in this that you read is 16, when it says Jesus said to her, Mary. That's it.
I know.
It gives me chills in a way because that is so intimate. You know, yes. And that's the moment where she realized, wait, like you are Jesus, you are my teacher, yeah. You are my savior.
It gives me chills just hearing you say that. How did he say it? Like, don't you wish you
knew? Well, I think that's where it's like, if you were to say my name,
yeah.
Like I would know it immediately. Like I think that's like that intimacy, like how many times uh-huh. when he was on earth, you know, before he died and resurrected. Mm-hmm. He must have said her name, you know, like the intimacy in their relationship, that is what caused her to see him, was that moment yeah. where he said Mary. And he didn't say anything. I mean, at least is what it says in here is all that's it. Is she turned and she immediately knew. And I just like envision, like she's looking in the tomb, like you said, she's looking in there for him. She's devastated. He's not there. She's crying and he's behind her. I'm assuming this is again in my head. This is how I envision it. Because mm-hmm. she's looking in the tomb and he's behind her. And when he says her name, she turns around, like almost like I feel like she probably turned around like that. Like she knew, like before she even turned around, she knew that it was Jesus.
And it wasn't the first thing he said to her. And that's what I love. Because he said to her, woman, why are you weeping?
Oh, yeah. How are you looking? Right, yeah. Right.
Who are you seeking? It had to be something about that name.
Yeah. That's what I love about it so much. I have it highlighted and circled in my Bible. Yeah. And the other thing I love about it is it reminds me too of just how powerful God's words are. Mm-hmm. Like it reminds me of like Genesis 1, like that, like he spoke and everything came to be. Like he can speak something and it changes everything. Like whether yeah. it's, he can speak something into being, he can speak into our hearts and it changes whatever's going on in our hearts. It can, yeah. you know, like there's just so much power in his words. And yeah. And so that's what I see in that moment of like, I see the power, but also the intimacy, like the relationship.
Yeah. Well, you know, in verse 15, it says, he said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Mm-hmm. Whom are you seeking? And when she said, I'm seeking Jesus, then he called her Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just that moment of, you want me, Mary? Like, who are you seeking?
Yeah.
I think sometimes those words, that when God calls to us, it's like, what do you really want? And when we say, well, Jesus, we want you, then there's that intimacy. It's that, you know, he said, Mary, Mary, here I am. And the minute he said Mary, I mean, it gives me chills because of,
wow.
We're so used to verse 15, woman. Like there's yeah. lots of women.
That's usually where it kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Is it woman? Why are you weeping? Like, you know, almost like, and who are you seeking? Like, what's your problem? That's what we're used to.
I don't
Jesus
know if he'll saying it. I don't know if, yeah.
No, I don't think he was saying it that way, like that. But that's how we, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's how I feel. I feel sometimes we're.
Oh, yeah. Like, why are you crying? Like, get over it.
Yeah, yeah, get over
yeah,
it.
Like, yeah, what are you doing? Like,
I'm here. I mean, I told you I was going to be here. Why weren't you here?
Yeah.
You know, right. Why are you seeking it? You know, you should have been sitting here yeah. on Saturday while, I don't know what I was, you know, I don't know what he was doing on Saturday, but you should have been at that too. But I just feel like it's that special moment that Jesus said, Mary. If you're seeking mm-hmm. me, you know, here I am now, I'm God. I want you to know that I am God. And he, you know, says, I'll send to my Father. But I think those are those special intimate. I think that's what the resurrection is about. It is all about victory. It is all about overcoming. It is all about we win.
And it's all about we, yeah, well, actually, I think this is what you're about to say. We yeah. get to be close.
Yes. It's all mm-hmm. about that intimacy. Now, because of the resurrection, mm-hmm. well, because of Friday, because of that dying on the cross. And now he's like, you know, I've done it. I've done whatever he had to do. He did it on Saturday. And mm-hmm. and now I've done it. It's over with, Mary. Mary, you know, no, you don't need to weep anymore. You don't need to weep anymore. And I think that that's where we need to look at as the resurrection is that, yes, as a group of believers, as a group of, you know, Jesus followers, we celebrate the fact that he just walked right out of that tomb.
Conquered death and, yeah.
He conquered death, yeah.
Yeah. We won't have to, like, there will be where there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain, yeah. There'll be, you know, we can be close with them. But, yeah, it's more about that relationship.
Now we can have an intimate relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think we miss that.
I I haven't talked about Moses in a few episodes, so I'm going to bring up Moses.
I know, we might as well. Oh, Moses, maybe you talked to Moses.
I know, because, we're in our reading. I'm in Deuteronomy. You might be ahead because I'm a little bit behind. Not much, though. I've been proud of myself. But at the end of Deuteronomy, we see, a lot in Moses' life, but especially toward the end, we see the intimacy between. And it says, I can't remember how it says, but basically, no one knew God as intimate as Moses. Like, their relationship
was— Not even Abraham.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember how it says it, but it's very, I love the way it's written because it's like they knew each other face to face, like a friend, like no one else. There was no other like Moses in terms of how close he and God were. And I think about that because I think that's, and I don't know, this is, I don't want to put anything into scripture, but I think of that's what we now get with the Holy Spirit and because of what Jesus did. Like, we get that intimate, and it maybe it's not as close as him and, between God and Moses, I don't know. But I do think that we get this intimacy that not everyone in the Old Testament got. But I just think that too, where it's like there's this intimacy that we get to experience. Like, we get those Mary, just the one word, like him just saying our name. We get that moment daily, every moment, anytime we want it, we can get that.
Yeah.
The intimacy that, with the Holy Spirit and because of what Jesus did.
I do believe that Moses had a great relationship, obviously, with God. And I think he had a real relationship with God. Moses would get angry.
He was definitely
with God.
Can you do something?
These people that you told me to get, these are your people. I didn't sign up for this job.
And from the very beginning, he was like, don't send me. I don't want to do this. I mean, he did it, but.
I think it's that intimacy. And I think a lot of people, talk about, our relationship and how close we are, and we are really close. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows, and it's true, we're real. But we do have those moments. We have those moments of being real and vulnerable and you hurt my feelings, or, what are you doing, Mom? Or, those kind of things. And And I think that that's kind of with her crying, I don't know this. And scripture clearly says not to add anything to scripture. So I'm just looking at this as a human being. But, when he said, woman, why are you weeping? There's a part of me that thinks, probably put myself in Jesus's place, which Jesus would never act like me. But I feel like Jesus, for me, I'm like, did I not tell you? I mean, why are you weeping? I mean, have I not talked to you, about this? And yet, we do know that she didn't see him as Jesus. She saw him as the gardener and stuff. And so she thought he was gone. And so she was sad because she thought he was gone. And the body was gone, and she'd, come to take care of the body. And I just think that sometimes that's one of those things. I think we talked about that a little bit, even last week, of where, we don't know what God's doing. And we sometimes
and being vulnerable and...
And stuff. And I think that will cause us to have tears. And I think sometimes our tears blinds us to seeing Jesus and seeing God in the work. All we can see is our pain. You and I have talked about it a thousand times of how we run from pain and we do anything we can not to hurt. And that's not realistic. But we still continue to try to do that. But anyway, what I was going to say is sometimes our tears and our pain keeps us from seeing God's presence in our pain and in our suffering. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what, I get when I'm reading this. Jesus is coming and meeting her, and I think he's so sweet to her.
But even in that, it's like in our pain, he is there. And saying, your name or whatever. It's like that, what you were saying with when Jesus asked her, who are you seeking or whatever, but she says, I'm seeking Jesus, basically. Where have you taken him? I want to take him away. And I love that, where it's like, he wants to be found. He wants us to, draw close. He wants that. And as soon as we do, he's right there, to say, in the same way he said, Mary. Because it would have to be, I don't know, I imagine it just was this most tender moment. And also, remind me, Mary Magdalene, is she the one that had all the demons in her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, because I think that, I don't know, I was just trying to place her in the story of, so she, because there's a lot of Marys in the, she's not Mary of Mary and Martha, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not the same Mary. And then obviously she's not his mother. So it's the Mary that he cast all the demons out of.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. she,
I don't know, that's, yeah, that definitely. May not be important. I just was trying to remember.
It will. I mean, it is important because the fact that she was there, she wasn't the Mary of that was the mother of Jesus. She wasn't Mary, you know, that was the dear close friends. Here right. is this Mary that, and we do know that some of the Marys, based on of the Gospels, that they were there, close going to there. John just brings up the fact that they're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm just talking about this Mary, the one that he says the name of. I was just trying to place like their relationship. Like they, we don't get a lot of names of the women who did follow him. Right. And she is one of them. But I just think, anyway, it may not be important. I was just placing that just for... to know exactly which Mary this was.
And I do, I think that that is important in the fact that she was very faithful. I mean, she came to the tomb, you know, and with and the other, you know, gospel writers say the other Marys are there too, mother, but, you know, because they came, you know, to do take care of the body. But I think that Mary, one of the things that Jesus said about Mary Magdalene, and he said, much is forgiven, much is loved. Meaning she understood about forgiveness.
Yeah,
because she had so many demons and he cast out the demons in her. So he literally, you know, healed her and, you know, brought, you know, healing and peace and, you know, goodness and good, you know, love and all the things that she did not have with all the evil that was, you know, in her life. And so I think that, you know, he had a special She had a special, you know, place in her heart for that, as Mary did, that she sat at the feet, as his mother did. They all had different roles. But I think that there is something about a person that's been so forgiven, that understands. You hear testimonies about, you know, a lot of people that have been, you know, really away from God, their lives so evil that, you know, even devil worshipers and stuff, they've turned and realized that Jesus, you know, was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And their testimonies are very powerful. Now, the same blood that was shed on the cross for Mary Magdalene that was, you know, demon-possessed is the same blood that would do for a child that told a little lie. You know, I mean, it's
right.
All sin is
well,
sin.
It's I'm not saying that.
Yeah. And Jesus had to die for all of it. But there is a part of this person's life, and I know that I feel this way, and certainly I was not a prostitute, and certainly I wasn't demon-possessed, but I often said, God, I don't want to ever feel condemned, but I never want to forget what you've done for me. And I think that special moment that Jesus said, Mary, I almost feel like that was that moment that she felt when he saved her, when he rescued her. And, you know, released her of all the demons. And so I think that maybe that reminded her of that. But she knew that he was the Savior. She knew who he was after, you know, after that moment. So, again, I just think that it's one of those wonderful moments that we think about the victory. We think about Jesus coming out of that grave. We win. We win over Satan. Goodness, godliness. God has won. God... I always think about Genesis 3 when God was sitting in the, you know, the tomb, not the tomb, but in the garden, and Satan is there, you know, and he's like, what'd you do? And he gets on to Satan and says, you know, you think you're going to hurt me, but I'm about to destroy you. And now we see he did.
Yeah, like that's why I love reading through the Bible every year is because, and it's not even over yet because he hasn't, you know, come again. Mm-hmm. The second coming hasn't happened. But it's like, that's what this whole thing, that's what this whole thing is about, him coming. Like ever since Genesis 3, there was this whole plan put into motion. Yeah. And every detail, every story in the Old Testament, every setback and every victory and every little thing he used and orchestrated. And it was all intentional to come to this moment. And I love seeing that. I love seeing like this is all for us, like to come after us, and I feel like
and pursue at least over and over again, pursuing us,
And so I feel like yes, there is a definite like victory and celebration to be had for what
Absolutely.
You know, Easter is and what's coming. But I feel like for me, this Easter and this weekend, thinking of just about, yeah, Sunday in general, I think for me, I'm going to be reflecting more on the intimacy with it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think there's some years where I need to be, it's like I'm sitting in Easter thinking like I need to hold on to the fact that you can do anything. Like you can
power
raise
over devil.
A man from dead. Yeah. Like there's power over death. There are definitely those years where that has been like what I really needed to sit in. But I feel like this year for me, I think I'm going to sit more in that, the Mary, that moment where he's like Mary, where it's, yes, he did all this to conquer sin, but it was to be with us. It was so we can have this intimacy and that we can be with him literally forever.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, there's nothing, yeah, there's nothing separating us.
Yeah. And every year that we sit on that beach and read the last chapter and it says, and then,
in Revelation.
God walks with man again and he's back with us. And you cry. You know, because
intimacy. Yeah, it's like this is the whole point. It's Revelation 21, and it's he walked with Eve and Adam and Eve in the garden. He wants to walk with us, and so I cannot wait for all the pain to be away. there's a benefit to all that, and I'm thankful that I'm thankful that there is death, there is no sting. I'm thankful that there is hope after death.
Victory,
And there's victory after death. And I mean hope after death in terms of like if you've lost someone that you love or care about, like you will see them again in heaven. Yeah. And so, yes, these are all great. But the thing that always gets me is it says he will dwell with man. And I love it because that's the point. That's what he wanted from Genesis 1. Yeah. That is why he created us. That is why Jesus came. Yeah. That is why everything from Genesis 1 till today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen, sister. And you know, this is the thing. It's like, again, this is me and my personality, but I feel like, you know, in Genesis 3, it's like God is putting his finger in Satan's face and going, you're not going to win. Like, you're going to hurt me, you know, I've got this, you know. And I think, you know, maybe on Saturday, maybe he did go to Hades. Maybe he did go to the deepest of the darkness and say, you know, in your face.
Yeah, I'm about to blow this lid off, blow the lid off this grave.
You are never not going to believe what was about to happen. And he walks out of that grave, and here's these angels.
But Satan knew that he was going to.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Okay, that's what
he knew.
He knew.
Oh, yeah, he knew. He knew his time's coming, and he still knows his time's coming. And that's why I think sometimes we look at the world, and sometimes I feel like, oh, my gosh, this is so evil. It's like there's almost like the devil is just scared to death because he's read Revelation. He knows exactly.
He's just mad. Yeah, it's like when you get mad and you are filled with bitterness, like you want to set the world, like you're like, I'm going to show you. Yeah. And that's what I think Satan is. It's like he's like, I'm going to, you know, set the world on
fire. And you know what? It's not even mad at us. He's mad at Jesus. He's not mad. He's mad at God. He wants to be God. He's mad at God. And so what... and I've said this so many times, you've heard me say it, is that if you wanted to get back at somebody, you would go and capture somebody that they love.
Closest.
And that's what, the closest to you. And that's why I think kidnapping is so bad, because they're going to grab hold of somebody, you know, and hold them in captivity.
If they can't get you, they go after the closest, the person
and
that
we
means
are
the most
closest.
To you.
Yes, and that's me and you, and that's that intimacy. And I think when we think about, death, where is thy sting? My mom and dad up in heaven, I'm so thankful I'm going to get to see them one day. You know, Howard's brother just passed away yesterday. You know, and so we know that we're going to see him. One of the things that Howard and I have talked about was in the later part of his life that Joe came to know the Lord, and that's more important than, you know, than his entire whole life. And so those are wonderful things, is that Jesus did conquer death so that we would never have to deal with death. Those are great things. We can have a relationship with the Holy God, and we can go talk to him. That's a wonderful thing. But why? What was the motivation? And it was because so he can be close to us. And then that's where, you know, he wants us to know, sugar, I love you. And mm-hmm. you may not understand what I'm doing. You may think I'm, you know, walked away from you. I haven't walked away from you. Mm-hmm. And it's just that moment. You just go back and look at that. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned, and she immediately. And I think that that's the thing, is that moment when you know that, that intimacy, you turn to him, you look to him. She had been seeing him. She had looked at him. She thought he was a gardener. He called her woman. It wasn't that intimacy. And I think that that's that times in our life where we feel the closest to God, where we feel those moments of when you know that his presence is there and you know he's there. And I tell you, there's been times in my life when I felt so alone or so hurt and so discouraged that, I always say, he says, sugar pie. It's just that mm-hmm. moment sometimes in my conversation with him on my knees that I feel like he says, sugar pie. Because I'm there on my mm-hmm. knees and I'm saying, God, I'm here. I'm turning to you. I'm looking to you. God, I'm desperate for you. And I think that those are those moments. And I love, I was, you know, listening to this tape, and it was on prayer. And I love what he said. It said, is this Jesus who dances on his own grave? Is this Jesus that, you know, is loving and caring for us? He's the reason. Yes, he's powerful. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's strong. Yes, he's conquered death. Yes, he's paid his sin. But it's that intimate relationship with Jesus that makes it worth, and what he says is,
well, I think that's why he's
staying in the room. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't, us. Like, to him, mm-hmm. what difference was it? You know, like, he, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, it's Friday, like, he didn't, mm-hmm. he came back for us. Like, he didn't have to come yeah. back. It would have made no yeah. difference to him. He's still Jesus. Yeah, he's still going to be in heaven. His whole eternity is set. He doesn't, it would not have changed one bit
of who anything. He is.
Yeah. If he had not come back. So, yeah, yeah, it's like he's dancing. Not because he's like, hey, I did it. He's dancing because, hey, you're can
mine.
Now come to me. Like, I just yeah. did, yeah. I just showed you who I am. I didn't need to do this.
I just did what you could never do.
Yeah. So I think that, again, that goes back to, I think that's like what I'm going to be like reflecting on this yeah. weekend, is that it's like he's dancing for us. He is, mm-hmm. he's doing all of this for us.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible is really, there's a lot of words in this thing. It's all for, yeah. this is the whole point.
It really is. And I love that, Karen. I think that for me, I think I'm going to do the same thing. And so, you know, as you're in and on this conversation, as you're thinking about Easter and you know, what it means and what it means as a follower of Jesus. But I think what Kara is saying is like, I'm just going to concentrate on the fact that he did it all for me.
Yeah. It's like, I think that's how we get through our Fridays and Saturdays. It's like through the agony, through the waiting, like that.
Through the tears.
Yes, he can do anything. Yes, he can conquer anything. Yes, he is. But he is, because in my mind, that's what gives me hope. It's like, if he would do that, why would I ever doubt that he's not going to do anything that's less than the best? Like, why would yeah. I? And again, I'm like going to be, I have to tell myself this every other moment. So I'm having a good moment right now where I'm remembering it, but I'm just saying, it's yeah. like, why?
Write that down.
Yeah. Write it down for
you
sure.
Write that down.
It's like, why would I doubt? Because yeah, yeah, it's for us.
Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you could be a part of our conversation. To continue the conversation, you can find Dot on social media at Dot Bowen, or visit her website, dotbowen.com. Subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and we will see you next week on Write This Down with Dot Bowen.